Hey everybody, it's Lloyd Spence, and I am excited about where we are headed as we're getting closer and closer to the NBA playoffs. And man, you can tell things are heating up. So now I got to get in position. I got to get you in position to get you over to betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your, wait for it, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So get on over there to betonline.ag, betonline.ag, your online sports book experts. Come on, man. Tell them the Noisemaker sent you. Man, I'm so tired of this. This is Lloyd, your boy, Mr. Noise, and I can't find my sunglasses. You know what it is? It's probably because I don't like my sunglasses. And it's time to make my outdoor experience better with Kanen. Because Kanen sunglasses are made exclusively with polarized lenses for optimal clarity. They're made with Japanese optics that make their lenses clearer, lighter, stronger. And, man, I love the Italian handcrafted frames that are impossible to scratch. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use the exclusive code KanenCast15. That's KanenCast15 at Kanen.com to receive my 15% off discount on my first pair. And you can do the same thing. Just go to Kanen.com and use the code KanenCast15 at Kanen.com and get a 15% off on your first pair. That's KanenCast15. Kanen. Man, it's clearly better. Tell them the Noisemaker sent you. Man, I wish I could get back to fishing on the weekends, back like I did back in the day when I was a wee lad. But I can't, man. The time is... Okay, let me just be honest. I can't find the right stuff. I don't know the right baits to go get for Texas. But I'm glad our new sponsor, Monster Bass, is the fun and affordable way to get the best new baits from the fishing industry's top brands delivered to my doorstep each month. Premium subscription fishing company that handpicks the best baits based on where I live and where you live and fish. No more guessing on which baits are going to work. Just leave it to the pros at Monster Bass. They know what to do. Basically, it's like having your own personal fishing guide. It's changing the way bass fishermen shop for baits. They're quickly becoming the number one fishing brand of anglers everywhere. They got the best baits from the best brands, and you're covered by the industry's best customer service. So, if you want to catch a bigger bass this season, head on over to monstersbass.com and use the code ACC10 to get $10 off your first box. That's monstersbass.com. Use the code ACC10 to get $10 off your first box. Sign up for Monster's Bass now. Tell them your boy Lloyd Spence sent you.
Popcorn World.
Charlie Ward, Wave 3 TV, and Burn Pit Hall of Noise himself, and of course, Mama Noise, Lloyd Smith. And now, it's time for Believe in the ACC. We are now the only show on the Noise Media platform that starts its show with a round of applause. So that makes us special. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Popcorn World.
Listen, we got a funky song with Popcorn World and a round of applause. That's a heck of a way to start a morning.
Hey, it gets you up and going.
It gets you up and going. John Ward is here. Kendrick Haskins is here. And what's interesting about today's show
is before you start,
what is it?
I am so happy that we have finally gotten my man Kendrick Haskins into the show. Good job,
Noah. Thank you very much. Appreciate you.
It's long overdue, but we got it. We finally got it together here. And he looks good. And by the way, I told him before the show, but I'll tell him publicly, that is one of my favorite pics of Kendrick Haskins right there. You and his net around your neck and the joy. Now, the only thing that makes the picture bad is I know you did it here in Dallas.
it was a new smile. Yeah, because that was right outside AT&T Stadium.
Exactly. That's the only negative about that. But other than that, great pictures though.
So how did that happen? I mean, what were you? How did you get around your neck?
There's the Final Four, and Warner Ladders is giving us the ladder to do the live shots. I'm not 100% sure where the net came from. They may have brought the net. I'm not sure where it came from because I think that was on that Monday. It was the Monday of the championship game.
Right.
But I don't know where the net came from.
That was Kentucky went, right? Kentucky and they lost to UConn, that's right. Yeah.
UConn team that Louisville beat three times.
that was a strange year of basketball, I have to admit. Like, really? Y'all can't beat them? But what again? Anyway, it's good to see the brothers this morning. When we were putting the show together this last night, I'll be honest with you, we did it out of pure curiosity. I said there's a whole lot to discuss. And it was just pure curiosity because I wanted to just, we kind of opened up a discussion on our last show about the transfer portal. And I was like, let's just talk, let's just see, because we've been throwing these numbers out there about how many people are in the transfer portal. And I said, well, I hadn't really dived into that. And as we were getting on the air today, Bleacher Report, well, really not even Bleacher Report, it's really The Athletic. The Athletic is stating, and I want to give a shout out to the young lady who's breaking the story, Nicole Arbach. Nicole Arbach is saying that a Wednesday second vote today will determine whether the players will have a notification deadline to inform their current program on their move, because the transfer rule will be officially approved today. I think the only sticking point is the dates. So it looks like for a May 1st date will be for the fall. You have to notify your current program, and a July 1st date will be for the spring. So that's the only thing that's, I guess, left to decide or vote upon or whatever. But it is official now. You can transfer one time. It's a one-time thing. Transfer without having to sit out a year. And it's the without part that makes this a big deal.
You say one time.
One time. Now, it's a one-time thing. You can't just be all willy-nilly.
Yeah.
But a one-time deal. But, again, it's the without part that makes this an interesting story. Because currently, as we're talking on this broadcast today, in the basketball D1 basketball transfer portal. Well, I don't know if it's D1. I think it's just period. But in the transfer portal, there are 1,361 players of as of this broadcast in the basketball part of the transfer portal. Yeah. In the football part, there's 1,500 D1 football transfers. So for grand total, if my math is correct, 2,861 players total.
So you have like 200 more or so football players as opposed to basketball players, which right. The scholarship numbers are drastically like
right. Right. I'm like, it's only 200. It's only 200 more.
Well, but the basketball one, I think, is just ramping up, though. So I think we're going to – it could – listen, that number grows. When I was doing the research for this, I saw at least 3 or 4 different articles, and every time you saw a new article and a new date, the number was different. So it's growing. And even yesterday, there's a ton that just came in yesterday. So it's – I would – listen, it could be by the end of the week those totals are going to match each other.
Yeah,
I'm guessing because basketball season just ended and football season's been over for a few months.
Exactly. So
most of those transfers have pretty much gone through.
Yeah, right. But it's still a high number for even this late.
It's an incredibly high number. And here's the thing. Basically, D1 schools have the potential to reshape their entire rosters without signing one freshman if they were to choose to. You don't have to sign a freshman at all if you don't want to.
Yeah. That's disturbing as a high school coach. Because, you know, now it used to be where you could go out and get a transfer, whether it was a grad transfer or a guy had to sit out. I know FSU, the women's team, we not made a living, but we had quite a few transfers on our teams over the past few years, and they've had to sit out a whole year in order to become eligible. And, you know, that's kind of the way, some of the ways they help build their roster, even though they were able to go out and get some high school players, but it minimizes all of those. Your top players are still going to go. They're still going to go get a scholarship, but it's that middle tier player that may have an opportunity to be a Division I, FCS level player, may not get an opportunity now because there's a transfer portal, and you know we're seeing where Division I players, some of them are most of the times in basketball, I'll say they're moving laterally. They may be going to a different school within, their league or Division I. Very few times do you get a top-tier player, I should say, moving down into a FCS or Division II. You may get a few of those, but for the most part, I think this is going to become the norm. I mean, this... You know, I know this has been on the docket for some time as far as this ruling. I'm happy that it's happening in the sense that, it's been that feeling of who gets the transfer, who gets the waiver, and all these different things. And now this just gives people an opportunity to do it. And the ramifications for trying to do it again is you have to sit out. And so the thing that's going to be an issue is you're going to start seeing coaches, potential people on the outside recruiting other kids that may be unhappy. I can understand kids leaving because a coach may not be there or may got fired or whatever. But even with that, I'm just a big believer. You know my story. I'm just a big believer that if you've chosen a school – and yes, everything's based on relationships as well. You got to get a new coach a chance if you're at that school. And so you shouldn't open the door right away. You should at least wait to see. But then again, it's that whole, you know, you make a decision, you live with it, and sometimes you have to take the best opportunity at the time.
Well, Kendrick, I wanted you to jump in here as well. I've had a chance to sit with this for a little bit now because I knew we were prepping for the day. And, man, I got a real – I'm all over the place mentally about it because, on like you said, Charlie, I see some great of it, and then I see some crazy of it, and then I see some nightmare of it. And it feels like the whole culture of – college sports is about to really, in these next 3 to 5 years, really dramatically change. Like, it's not it, the college sports that we grew up watching and knowing, that's done. That is over. Because now college sports has free agency.
Right.
And it's an incredibly active free agency. And here's the thing that I would look at on multiple levels. Number one, if I'm on the, I'm going to play the angle of the coach. I'm going to be the coach this time, Charlie, not you. I'm going to be the coach. if I'm on the hot seat, man, I'm not stating my livelihood on recruiting. It's recruiting a bunch of freshmen. Man, I'm going to walk right across the hall over to this transfer portal and go rebuild my team. And I can do that overnight. And I can go from a losing season to potentially, if I do this right, I can potentially get back in the NCAA, you know, NCAA tournament.
Or, right, that's the crazy part is because it's free agency without a salary cap.
Without a salary cap.
So, I mean.
You can literally make your entire roster just on the transfer portal alone and never have to – I don't have to – listen, I don't have to spend that money going out to try to sell a bunch of 18-year-olds on my program.
Well, you know, I get experienced players.
Yeah, Louisville's already 3 players in, right? Mm-hmm. And counting. Because I would imagine Chris is like, psh, I'm great. If Scott Drew can make it to the Final Four after 1
right.
year –
Don't yeah, Baylor laid out the blueprint.
Baylor laid out the blueprint. They've already shown you can go to the Final Four.
Okay, hold up. I'm going to say this because this is one thing that I was going to mention about, you know, looking at your team and trying to, you know, figure out, you know, the best fit because there are different models to it. And everyone's not going to be Baylor. Because you got to have the right fit.
They are, Charlie.
Because, you know, everyone wants to be a certain type of team when they look at those that have made, you know, won championships.
Right.
And you may not be, because there's been different types, though. You know, you may be another type, and you have to build your team based around what you currently have. Because if let's just for instance, you bring in 3 dominant guards like Baylor did, and you don't have complementary big players, those big players they want the basketball, then you're gonna have a potential problem on your hand. But if you have a mix or whatever that mix may look like, you got to find the best fit for your program and your team, and then roll with it because there's no one cookie cutter type model that you can look towards doing. And if you're going to build your program, all your program around transfers, you're going to have some issues with continuity.
Yeah.
As opposed to potentially bringing in someone that can, you know, younger, you know, having a mix. Everything is about balance anyway. So,
and I don't disagree with any of that. I would only push back just a little bit with this, and then Kendrick, I want you to jump in there on your thoughts. It's so much easier, though, to go to the college film of these guys and look at that and see how that fits based on their college experience than it is to look at a high school film and say, is this guy going to have the work ethic? Is he going to understand the college game? Is he going to understand – the work ethic that comes along with being a college student. So I agree with everything you're saying, because I agree. That's the key to the whole thing. That's what made Baylor's thing work so well. Scott literally put the right players into his system like it was like pieces of a puzzle and made it work. But, man, he didn't have to go sell them on what it took to be a college player either. They understood that coming through the door. Kids, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think we all three agree that the biggest loser in this is the high school player, the high school kid, because these coaches are going to want more experienced players, especially when I thought about Louisville's situation. You know, they brought in three guys, but for one, Louisville was 14th out of 15 ACC teams in three-point shooting. They brought in three guys that shot 40% from three over their career. They can do that because, I mean, you don't know if you're going to get a high school player that can shoot 40% from three. Then when you look at Louisville's NCAA situation with you never know when that hammer's going to come down, it's right. Handcuffing them and recruiting high school players because, I mean, you know, everybody else is recruiting against that. But if you're getting a grad transfer who's only going to be there a year or two, they may not even have to deal with all the NCAA stuff. And so, again, that's perfect for a Louisville situation. But like these high school kids, you know, like you said, the top tier kids are going to be fine. It's those next tier, and then they even like that next tier that's still probably a D1 quality athlete, but ends up not being able to go D1 because of all these transfers. You got transfers and grad transfers. It's two different kinds of transfers.
Right.
And then you get to the high school player. And so I think you're going to see a lot of these mid-majors starting to get higher quality talented high school players because of the transfer, but then they won't be at the mid-major long because they'll transfer somewhere else.
Well, you know, and here's a thought to Chad that I was going to bring this up because I know we're all fans of Last Chance U. KJ Allen from Last Chance U is transferring to Texas Tech after he decommitted to USC. So that's the kind of thing that's happening.
Who did Texas Tech hire again, dude?
I forget. I think he was like an assistant on the staff, I believe.
Yeah, I think it was. I think he had to go to Texas, and he decided to stay back.
I think he was like an assistant. But I think one of the things that we haven't discussed about this is that we may, for the very first time in college sports, actually see the P word in college sports, which is parity, like real genuine parity. Because if we can all pull from the same pool now and fish in the same river or lake or whatever, man – things could even out fairly quickly over the next 3 to 5 years.
I mean, you've kind of seen that, though, in basketball.
You think so?
Yeah. On the men's side, definitely, yeah. I mean, look at the last few champions. Baylor just won the national championship.
That's a great point.
I mean, Villanova's got a couple. I mean, it's, you know.
So we know teams. Yeah, Virginia, that's right. So we know teams can use the transfer portal. The question I ask both of you is, should they?
Yeah.
Well, just from talking to people, that is a factor. I mean, you heard in Hubert Davis, his press conference, he mentioned it. If you don't use it, then you're going to be behind.
Right.
in a lot of ways, and you have to make that a viable resource because there are some quality players, and we've seen it here play out this year. And a lot of transfers aren't – I mean, a lot of them aren't coming – going from, you know, D1 to D1. I mean, D1 meaning high major to another high major. That does happen quite a bit. But you start seeing these pieces, you know, from the smaller – conferences, some of their best players, their leading scorers, leaving to go to a bigger program, and they have an impact. You know, they're making impact on that team, and so I just think it is a healthy balance, and you know, it just adds more options to a college coach to be able to help build his program. But I don't think that they will. I mean, there will maybe some schools that will be heavy where that's the only people they recruit to try to build it. Like you said, a hot seat type coaches. But I think you also have to develop some players as well. And then age, the transfer portal, they got freshmen leaving. So you can get a freshman for two or three years or whatever to be able to develop them. But I just think there'll be a healthy balance to be able to pull from to build your team. This is very similar to the NBA. I mean, this is just coming down the pipe as far as the NBA is concerned. When you start looking at your team, you know, some teams aren't going to, you know, be heavy in the draft because they have aspirations of winning the championship. And when you have aspirations to win a championship, you know that you can't have a lot of young players that may be inexperienced. But you can throw one or two in the mix that you can develop, and potentially one of those guys with a lot of veterans, or you know, a mix of veterans and young players that are veterans, then you can build your team to win championships. But if you're in a different state where you're not in that up echelon of potentially winning the championship, maybe this year, maybe a couple years from now, you're going to draft, you know, some young players and bring a couple of free agents that you can, you know, pull along to help you, you know, through. But this, man, this is looking more and more like the NBA, the NFL. And my concern is, I mean, which is not really a concern, it's kind of already been happening. The high school game is pretty much the same. I mean, you can have a kid playing, you know, one sport. Here in Florida, you can have a kid playing one sport. He can transfer to another school and play another sport, and this whole deal.
Wow.
So that is, it's crazy sounding, but it's happening.
I wonder if the parity might actually go the other way, because part of the reason why the mid-majors have been able to knock off the high majors lately is because the high majors have had all of these young, had the uber talented but young kids, and the mid majors had the experienced players.
Right, right.
But now the experienced players are going to be going to the high, and leaving the mid majors to go to the high majors, and so I wonder if it may go the other way.
That's a great point. I don't know. That's a great point, because you know, it's the movement of it all to me is fascinating, because it all obviously it speaks to what the game has become, college sports has become. It's all about my situation. And so how are guys going to be viewing their situation? Every kid comes into college sports thinking, most kids come into college sports thinking they have a shot to go deeper into professional sports in some capacity, whatever that is. We all know that the reality of that is that there's a very, very minute percentage that are going to be playing professional sports. But can't you see the auditioning of students on these teams? And then here's the other part. Now let's get into the underbelly just a little bit. Imagine you're Auburn playing let's stay in the ACC, because this is an ACC show. Imagine you're Florida State and you're playing North Carolina or Louisville or whatever, and the game's over, and the assistant coach comes up to the other coach, that to a kid who's a four-star on the bench, and he said, "Hey, man, you didn't play a lot tonight. Man, you know, looks like you're not getting any time. Just, you know, we got some, you know," just whispers in his ear, just, "Listen, Florida State's a great place to be. Just say it's a very sunshine state." Or North Carolina's like, "Listen, man, there's a place down here called the Big Biscuit. It's really delicious. You should come down and try it sometime." You know, I mean, it leaves room for some weird interactions. And all of a sudden, because we have already seen one of the kids, I think, from Miami is headed to Louisville, right? Is that what's going on? And then there's a North Carolina kid that's going to, like, I don't say Florida State or somewhere, but they're moving. It's just, I'm not saying anything is going on. I don't know that. I can't speak to that. But when you have a rule like this in place, man, it leaves for, you know, that it leaves for some weird interaction on the football field after the game.
Because I just saw today that the AAC lifted their ban on interconference transfer.
So after the game, man, that's some weird. That assistant coach has a long conversation talking to this kid. Man, you played great, man. But it just feels like you didn't get enough passes. And I'm just saying, man, we have passes.
And it's easier to do that with football than basketball because it's such a scrum after the game.
So I'm saying, and I'm just being realistic here. It's this leads for a weird set of unique things, and how will the NCAA deal with that? Is that tampering of some sort? Is tampering even a thing?
That's my point. That's it. I told you this is getting like the professional ranks, which
that's exactly right.
Which is cool. So if that is the case, then you need to get your commissioner for football. You need to get your commissioner for basketball.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And if you're gonna start going down that, so that they can oversee all these things that you're talking about, have their own compliance and all that kind of stuff. And because it's going to get to what you're talking about, you know, tampering. They got to put rules around tampering.
You know, I mean, and today's the first time I've even thought about that. And the first time I've heard that word about tampering, because, and I don't think the NCAA's even thought about it.
Well, the reason I thought about it is because it happens all the time in AAC.
Right. No, yeah, it's a very
This is AAC.
Yeah, it's a very good point. Yeah, it's a very good point. So I just wonder if the NCAA's even considered it.
Of course not. Y'all saw that weight room for the women. Of course they haven't considered it.
Have you heard about the women's volleyball facilities?
No. What happened?
They told the teams they won't have locker rooms for the first couple of rounds. The volleyball's even worse.
They won't have locker rooms? So basically the women are going to have to change in their rooms and then get on the elevator and come on, NCAA. Come on, man.
Hold on.
Come on, man.
I understand that whole deal. But that's normally what you do. I'm just not saying that it's right what they're doing. But normally, you put your uniform. Well, this is what we used to do, and I'm sure they're still doing it today. You use your uniform. You put your uniforms on at the hotel. You come over in your sweats, and you just take off your sweats. I mean, and then you go back home or go back to the hotel. You just put your sweats on and what have you. So that's normal.
So you're gonna sit during halftime. Where do you sit? Halftime for volleyball. How does that work? I don't know.
I'm sure they have.
It's not actually. There's not a halftime.
Okay.
I'm sure they have a holding spot or something that they can put some walls up to where you can have, you know, if you need
privacy and stuff.
Workout. I don't know. I mean, of course, unless you're there, you know, and the media can definitely make it to a point where it's a story. And we've known and heard. And I'm not saying that what they've done is right. I'm just saying potentially it could be bigger than it actually is. And yes, it sounds bad that they don't have a locker room or whatever the case may be, but they may have a place where they have chairs for them to start warming up, you know.
They may have individual porta potties. So Kendrick, don't do that.
I was saying, volleyball is like one of the few sports that doesn't have a halftime. They just play through. So I guess technically, if you look at it. I mean, they really don't have to have one.
I'm just saying that.
Game plan wise, they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, it's in a convention center. I mean, that was another thing talking about, you know, it was a convention center. Like, why couldn't they have it in something else?
Because the gym is so busy right now. Is that what's going on?
I guess the AAU circuit is on. Oh, <man. laughs>
Oh, okay. Hey, if you guys are a D1 coach right now, where are you putting your percentages of getting your players? So if you had to put a number to percentages, to how many players you had, is 12 on a roster, 15? I don't know how many is on a college roster. Is it 15?
I think it's 15.
15, that's what I thought. Okay. So out of that 15, what percentage of the team would be transfer portal if it was you?
It depends on what you need. And so, for instance, Florida State just lost a few guys that they weren't expecting to leave. And so now you're having to try to go and replace those guys because you're expecting them to come back. They were veteran players. Mm-hmm. Veteran meaning, you know, they played a lot last year in that sense. And so now you have to go and try to replace that because you were expecting them to come back with that same type of experience.
Right.
They do have some freshmen coming in that they've recruited as well. And so those guys are coming in and they can fit in, but you also need to replace those veteran guys. You can't replace, I don't think you can replace veteran guys with young players because of the factor that we've already talked about, the unknown in some form of fashion. And then, yes, you'll be starting all over again. But you need veteran players to be able to help you, you know, move along. I think it'll be a lot better this year because you will have an off season. Mm-hmm. Last year it was tough to be able to be in this type of situation because there was no off season and there's more individual work and those types of things. But this year it'll be a little bit better because you have an off season to be able to get all those new guys up to speed with what you're doing.
I think, like Charlie said, a lot of it just depends on your team. If you're like Louisville, for example, I think you're better off going the free agent route, we would call it. But like you take a Wake Forest, borrowing again from professional sports, is Wake Forest going to be a free agent destination?
Not at all.
So you got to build through the draft, aka high school recruiting. It's so weird to be talking in these terms.
But you know what? To that same point, though, Kendrick, this maybe helps Wake Forest because Louisville is now deciding, man, we can turn this whole thing around and get deep into the tournament by going to the transfer portal. Well, guess what? Now that recruit that would have went to Louisville, that freshman, now Wake Forest can say, hey, we're right here. Kentucky doesn't want you, and Louisville doesn't want you, and Duke.
Or the kid that was already on Louisville's roster who's transferring, like Josh Nickleberry.
Yeah. So it makes it better for some of these teams to, like, even in football. Guess what, Charlie? Duke football can maybe now go get some players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They can go get some players now and build something sustainable. You know, listen, that's a huge pool of players to pull from, 1,500 and counting. Surely there's enough to put on, you know, on a, was it 70 kids on the roster? Was it 76? I can't remember the number. 75, okay. So surely out of 1,500, you can go find 25 good players to put on your roster at Duke. Duke might be an actual powerhouse now.
I don't know about Duke, though, that admissions in there.
a little bit of hyperbole here. But at the same time, you know,
Duke has to go to certain schools to get their transfers from.
But to qualify students out of the transfer portal than it would be for them to qualify them as freshmen coming in. These are kids that already have a GPA, already got credits, probably hopefully a decent GPA.
I think they're still gonna have to come from a certain school.
That's possible.
Yeah.
Because that's Duke's probably not going to I don't know name schools, but you know, they're gonna go out and get kids that are coming from schools like theirs.
Yeah. Because
they know what the academic requirements are, being an athlete, all those types of things. And you
Stanford
may get
to one, the world.
Yeah, you may get one or two outliers where you have, you know, they come from a different school and that's not very similar to Duke and as far as the academic standards are concerned. You may get one or two of those, but I just think you still, it will come to a point where you're going to have to, I mean, let's just take Florida State again for football. I mean, we had like 7 or 8 transfers this year, and we're trying to build that up. I mean, we're trying to not build the transfers up, but we're trying to build, get back to, you know, being in the consideration for the ACC championship. And that's one way to do it. You know, you go out and get high quality players. Most of them came from the SEC, and they were players that are from the state. SMU was very similar a couple of years ago. They went and got a lot of people who wanted to come back to the Dallas Fort Worth area, and they were able to bring in some quality players just because they want to be closer to home. And so I think you're starting to see more of that, where kids want to come closer to home than where they are, and you're starting to see
Johnny Juzang.
Benefits from that.
What about, here's another group that we have not considered that this will tremendously affect. What about the junior college? Like, I think for them, this is a nightmare.
Well, they might be right.
Well, they are, but I think it makes it harder because if you are, unless that junior college kid stands out tremendously, you're probably more likely to recruit out of that transfer portal than you are to go get a junior college kid, aren't you?
To me, it's the same.
You think it's the same?
Yeah, it's the same as high school. The top tier kids are going to get chosen. And, you know, at some school, if they're a top tier junior college player, it's no different than going and getting a guy who's in the transfer portal that's the same age, I mean, the same year. And so I think the top tier junior college players will still get an opportunity. It's just that middle tier player that's going to get left out of the Division I opportunities just because of the transfer portal and more kids in it from different places. So this is definitely a squeeze the middle class, as they call it, if we want to talk about the professional ranks. Squeeze the middle class out, and you're going to have, you know, your upper echelon down to your younger players are the ones that's going to get the major opportunities, top tier players. But I don't see the JCs or community college kids, top tier kids getting left out.
If you just think about Last Chance U. KJ, you know, he's now going to Texas Tech. Joe, he ended up at another D1, but then you talk about the middle class. The middle class is the other kid that was starting over Joe on Last Chance U, and the point guard.
Right.
Not the point guard, but the two guard for Last Chance U. That's the middle class. You literally watch Last Chance U and see the upper class, upper echelon JUCO and the middle class JUCO on the same team on that show.
It was a question I had, and I just lost it just that fast. It was in regards to what Charlie just said. I'm fascinated by all of this because I think college sports is never going to be the same. It's going to be a scramble every year. And here's the question: college coaches now, do you have to coach different?
What do you mean?
Coach the incoming freshman, your five-star, your superstar athlete, or your four-star that's really talented, that's going to build in your program. You have to coach them a little bit different now because you don't want to make him mad and get it. You know, listen, you know these kids are uber sensitive. And so now, do you coach them different and maybe you're not as hard on them as you would be because you don't want him to get into the transfer portal. He's got one transfer left.
Well, I don't think you coach them different. I think you coach them the same. Meaning, I mean, if you're telling a kid he's going to play and without earning it, I think you're doing him a disservice.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're telling me come in and he work hard and work to earn his minutes or what have you, and you have a plan for him. I think if you do right by if you're fair, as Coach Bob would say, if you're fair and honest, you know, with the kids and they make the decision to leave, that's all you, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just got to live with that. Yeah.
You got to live with it. So,
I mean, at the end of the day, you can't let the kids run the program.
Exactly. I mean, you have to be there for them. And I understand we have, you know, like I just developed a leadership council for my basketball team, and it's have to have ownership of the program. You know, they're part owners of the program. But of course, the coaches are the ones who's going to, you know, be the overriding factor. And you know, when we start having kids running programs, I mean, we're definitely out of balance. And it's just like kids running the household. You know, if you got two parents in the house and the kids are running the house, it's going to be out of balance.
It's a rough house. Like I said, this is a fascinating set of circumstances that we will definitely be keeping our eyes on. College basketball is going to look, and football is going to look very, very different. Starting this fall and going forward, I think we are about to enter a new normal that none of us.
I think football will probably look close to the same because they've been transferring football like this for years.
Well, they have. That's very, very true. It's a great point. I just think as this thing continues to unfold, there are some elements that have not been considered,
like tampering.
Yeah, like the tampering. That's a big one. Because I'm telling you, if I got a chance to talk to Jalen Waddle, and I'm saying in the tampering sense, I'm talking to him. He's sitting on the bench over there. He's not playing. Yeah, he's hurt. But, hey, man, let's say he's a sophomore, a Jalen Waddle type player, and he's a sophomore, and he's sitting on the bench. Hey, man, you're too good to be sitting on the bench, man. I mean, listen. That's what the transfer portal.
Especially at a factory like Alabama, who always has some freshman you've never heard of that's sitting over in the wings.
I think it's going to be much harder to stockpile talent than it ever has been.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. That's really not a bad thing. And that's why I say I think we're headed toward a parity that we've never had. And more interestingly, in college football, because like I said, you're not going to be able to sit on that bench and be a five-star and have to wait for your opportunity. You don't have to wait for your opportunity anymore. If you don't like sitting there and waiting, that's what that deadline is for.
Yeah. Well, I still think your top-tier teams are going to get, you know, if Alabama, let's just say Alabama loses, which they have, a talented guy. Whether it's to another team or the NFL draft, I mean they have a tier system. Like, you know, they have a veteran guy that's in waiting, and then a younger guy who's has some time to develop and grow. He may be playing a little bit here, maybe playing on special team, get some experience, and then they have like this tier system to where the guys over the course of time. Those teams like that, they'll get their share of talent because let's just say UAB. Let's just use UAB and Alabama for if Alabama loses, say, one of their top linebackers, and UAB has a linebacker who could potentially be in that class now.
Yeah, it works. It works both ways. Yeah.
So that kid wants to go to Alabama.
If he yeah, no, it works right. both ways. It works both right. ways.
Yeah.
He's UAB's best linebacker, and Alabama comes calling. More than likely, and I'm not hopefully. I mean, more than likely, that kid's going to say, "Yes, I'm going to take that opportunity."
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly. That's
can't another, blame him.
And that's another great point. It's going to work both ways. You may not be able to stockpile like you used to, but you're still you, and you get to go pull from wherever you want to pull from as well.
Yes. Now, Clemson may be a different deal, you know, and I think that may change.
Say that again, Charlie.
Clemson?
Yes.
I think Clemson, you know, they normally don't go to the transfer portal and all that kind of, you know, the pull from, you know, kids coming in. That's normally not their route. A junior college, you know, that's normally not their route. But I think now, you know, with this transfer portal, they're going to start jumping in as well if they start having more of these guys leaving because they want to go, they want to play. You're going to start losing your depth that you've built over the years to be able to be successful.
I think if you're a team in a Power Five conference and you need to plug in a ton of holes, I think you'd be crazy not to start at the transfer portal. Like if you're saying, man, our offensive line is jacked up, let me go dig off into this transfer portal and instead of going to get a bunch of freshmen that I got to train up, I'm gonna go get in this transfer portal and go build my whole offensive line.
Yeah.
And now
that's what you're doing.
Go ahead, Charlie. What do you say?
I think that's what most teams are doing.
I mean,
they're looking at their situation and seeing where they are. And I keep using Florida State as an example. I know we're trying to get back, but we're very similar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good mix. You got to have a healthy mix, though. Because if you don't have a healthy mix, you're going to start bringing in guys who already have a mindset, a thought process that is hard to train. I mean, you know, change. As opposed to a young guy who can come in and, you know, you can mold as a young player. They just need some season, you know, under their belts. But they may be the same size, same type of kid. The only difference is one has already been in a college program that may have had a bad experience. And now he, you know, he's in the portal. But I just think it's going to be just – it's like anything else. You go to the war room, sit and see what you need, go through all your resources, and make decisions.
Yeah. The NFL draft, again, is April 29th. We're preparing for that, and we may have something special going on here with Noise Media. We may try something we've never tried before. We've been talking about something centered around the draft. So we'll keep you posted on that. We may have an announcement for you on Monday. So we'll see how it goes. But if just real quick before we take off here for the day, if you guys were on the your draft board, not player, not name of a player is what I mean, but just position. You're taking over a team, or let's say this: you're the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So basically, an expansion team.
Expansion team, yeah.
What do 20-year-old.
Yeah, where do you start building that? If you're the GM.
But they don't have a quarterback, so I'm starting there. Most organizations, whether it's high school, college, pro, you got to have a legit quarterback, someone you feel comfortable with leading a group. And as we've seen, every league is a quarterback-driven league. I don't care what league it is, it's a quarterback-driven league. We talk about football. If you don't have a solid quarterback, you're not going to go very far. I would start there, and then, you know, of course, it goes back down to, you know, what you need. If you need defense, then you for defense. And you know, you get quality defense in the back end or the middle of the draft, and, you know, you do that. But if you need, you know, it comes down to a need space. I don't know what they really need, but I do know they need a quarterback for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's you have to start with the quarterback. And I go quarterback, and then you start building out your lines. And so,
yeah,
that's where you go.
Yeah. It's gonna be a really, really fascinating draft. I'm hearing some stuff out of this draft that you're just going, man, this is a rich one. This is a rich one. I don't know why this one became so, like, you just
fruitful.
Yeah, fruitful. Because it feels like this one is more fruitful than anyone he had in a long time. Like, there's a lot of talent in this draft. And so it's weird, but I'm curious to see where this is going. So I think we may do something special because of it being as fruitful, and it's going to be a fun night of drafting. A lot of teams are going to be reshaped overnight, to say the least. So anyway, this is fun. I did not know that. Go ahead.
I also ask this. We don't know. I mean,
see, that's the other part, Charlie. We don't know. You're right.
The guys are getting drafted, but we don't know what they're going to do next year. I mean, we saw a lot of guys get drafted last year, and they made some form of an impact. But when it was all said and done, I mean, it came down to, you know, the Tampa Bay Bucks, who had all the veterans, and you may have had a couple of young players that were very good players. They were second-year players for the most part. And you may have had like one rookie that did something, you know, to help fill the void. But don't know who's going to be that impact player right away. But it's always intriguing to see, you know, how teams build through the draft. Because
the draft is always just building hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Building hope for the future.
Yep. And we as fans go, yay, my team's going to the Super Bowl now because we got this guy. And then that guy didn't get off the bench yet the whole year. So,
right. Or they draft a guy they've never heard of, but they wrap their arms around him. Yes, that's what we needed. Never seen him play.
We got the greatest kicker of all time. Thank you, gentlemen. It's always a pleasure, always a joy. We'll do it all over again on Monday. And start to unpack some of this stuff, this draft stuff. It's a lot of stuff over these next 2 weeks to look at. So we'll start to look at that, and even more specifically, the ACC players that are being drafted, and kind of figure out where they may be headed. There's some very interesting projections on some of these guys and where people think they're going to go. So we'll get into the weeds of all of it and have some fun. So, Believe in the ACC, that is Charlie Ward. He's our only Heisman Trophy winner. Kendrick, for now. I mean, we're working on some stuff. And then, because Kendrick is up, you know, he's
talented. I still got some eligibility.
I haven't left all my eligibility out there. I got time. Then we have one Heisman Trophy winner and two Hall of Famers. What other show can boast that? I'm just saying. All right. Y'all have a good one. We'll see you next week. Earth.